This is Jordan Secchio. Today on J Secchio Live, dossier collaborator and DOJ official Bruce Orr about to face the congressional hot seat to find the truth.
Live from Washington, D.C., J Secchio Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Secchio.
Hey, welcome back to J Secchio Live. This is Jordan Secchio. We are taking phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And to investigate the investigators, listen, yesterday, big news day, I would say. And because of that, I think you've been inundated by everything that was on the news, still on the news, still being discussed. And our normal host and the name of this broadcast, Jay Sekulow, and my dad, who is counsel to the president, there's a statement out by the president's legal team about the developments yesterday. If that's basically what I'll read today, if you ask about that. I mean, that's the statement that is current as of now, and we would stick to that. What we want to kind of focus on is how this shifts now. You know, you had this New York and Northern Virginia, back to Washington, D.C., back to Mueller, back to the dossier, back to Bruce Orr next week, preparing to testify to the House Oversight Committee, which is chaired by Trey Gowdy, and what we believe he will be asked about. Of course, the dossier taking center stage, but also some new developments about who else may have been involved at the Department of Justice. Was Bruce Orr really just a rogue actor because his wife worked at Fusion GPS? I mean, we know he was working with the FBI with Peter Strzok, but was Bruce Orr leading the charge here because his wife was benefiting? Now it's coming out that there is some evidence, I guess, that the House Oversight Committee has received that may implicate the former Deputy Attorney General and for a short time Acting Attorney General, Sally Yates. So that is coming into question now as well. Was there coordination from the top? Was there a full-on collaboration between the Department of Justice and FBI to get this dossier into law enforcement to kind of cleanse it of its salaciousness, so that it could be used in things like FISA requests and filings, and of course to ultimately attempt first to undermine the president before the election. That didn't work, and they weren't really able to get it out. And then second, to continue that battle against the president. We believe a lot of this now is shifting to Washington, D.C. That's where the special counsel is. That's where these congressional hearings are. So if you want the information about the other side, you're having to rely on the Republican Congress to bring people like Bruce Orr in front of these committees. So this is very important. And we believe, again, does that witch hunt continue in Washington? Give us a call. What do you think about that? 1-800-684-3110. Do you agree with the president that this is a continued witch hunt now in Washington, D.C., which is really where those swamp creatures are? 1-800-684-3110. Now, I think if you saw the president last night in West Virginia, you saw him back on the campaign trail after a day of wild news, but doing what he does best. And I think if he continues to do that on the political side, that is, again, very important as we reach these midterm elections, rallying up the base. The base is very important for midterm elections. Voter turnout is always lower than presidential years. So you got to get your base out and you've got to get people out. But I want to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me just say, though, what we want to do today is really focus in on, okay, what's going to happen next now in following all that news yesterday. What happens now? You know, that Washington, that continues. Special counsel continues. Hearings continue. We're taking your calls on it, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're prepared to analyze this with you. I've got a team in the studio with me as well. My dad is on the road today. So for the reporters out there who are hoping maybe he's going to make an appearance to say something about yesterday, he will not be on today's broadcast. As well, he's traveling today, I think, and so he will not be able to be on the air. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Does the witch hunt continue in Washington, D.C.? Will these collaborators behind the dossier ever be held to account? Is the congressional hearing the first step? I mean, it's tough to imagine the DOJ investigating itself, right? So we have to investigate the investigators other ways. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on J Secchio Live.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking phone calls. Guys, let's have some sound ready to play as well throughout. 1-800-684-3110. We are talking about this idea now. With really all the news that happened yesterday, the focus goes back to Washington, D.C. You got the special counsel there. You've got congressional investigations, including the House Oversight Committee, preparing next week to bring Bruce Orr in a closed hearing, which I think eventually, hopefully, we'll get an open hearing as well, but a closed hearing first at the House Oversight Committee, chaired by Trey Gowdy, where he'll be under oath. He could take the Fifth, but he could also explain his role in the dossier and whether others were involved in the dossier and to what extent. Let me go right to the phones, and because I think our first call of the day sets up a lot we talked about during the break. Robert in Maryland on line one. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah, hi, Jordan. Hi, Henry, and hi, Wes. I wanted to ask all three of you, who were the actual creators of the Russian dossier that had the so-called information on President Trump that was the catalyst and the motivation behind setting up a special counsel investigation by Robert Mueller for potential or alleged Trump transition team interference U.S. elections by the Russians?
Well, here's how we know who wrote it, definitely. Christopher Steele, former British spy who was being paid by the FBI, ultimately lost that job because he was leaking to the media. Glenn Simpson and Nellie Orr, because they're at Fusion GPS. So whether Bruce Orr was involved in the writing of it with his wife, I don't know. They were also supposedly utilizing Russian sources that were no longer in Russia. That's what they said, and they can't find these people. And then, of course, they were being paid by, it appeared, you know, the DNC, Democrat Party, or entities involved with Hillary Clinton's campaign, as well as potentially Russian oligarchs for this information. That's what we know, Harry. But I think you then, on the break, discussed what we are starting to learn about some others who may have been involved in this process.
Absolutely. So it's possible that the Steele dossier implicates Sally Yates. In other words, was Bruce Orr a lone actor or a lone wolf, if you will, within the Justice Department, or was he acting with the permission of Sally Yates, his then boss at the Justice Department? That's one question. The second question is, why was the State Department involved in hosting Christopher Steele? And as I suggested during the break, you have Victoria Nuland stating that she actively chose not to be part of a briefing that she was not aware of until after it had happened. That raises the question, how is this possible?
Yeah.
It's not possible.
No, I mean, this again, I think there are those officials who are former officials are trying to run away from this because they realize this could have serious consequences. And there are others who are being caught up in it and can't run away. And Wes, what Harry just brought up, this idea with Bruce Orr is that if he's, and he was, his number four at DOJ, unless he was totally doing this covertly with just Peter Strzok and basically his wife and then this outside figures like Steele, Christopher Steele and Glenn Simpson, which is a little tough to believe because he was so high ranking and the dossier eventually becomes a basis for FISA warrants. So at some point, others had to be brought in.
Yeah, absolutely. The apparent circle of corruption on this reaches to the highest levels of the federal government, especially in the previous administration. All of these people in some way are connected to one another and connected to the Trump dossier. Bruce Orr, Peter Strzok, Victoria Nuland, Deputy Secretary of State, James Comey, Orr's wife, Nellie, Andrew McCabe. You know, you go down the line, Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein. All of these people, at some point, their paths crossed, they worked together, and all of them have one thing in common, and that was to try and stop the election of Donald Trump, apparently, and then to interfere with him after he was elected as president. And so many of their stories, Jordan, are so inconsistent, and as a few of them have testified before Congress, their stories don't match up. You mentioned Victoria Nuland, who her statement was just outlandish. Bruce Orr, in testifying, but in his federal paperwork, his disclosure forms, he fails to mention that his wife works for Fusion GPS. On that form, he lists his wife's occupation as an independent contractor, when in fact, he knew exactly what she was doing for Fusion GPS, and it implicates him as a part of this circle of corruption.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the corruption is clear. You know, whether it's criminal is a matter that I think we would have to have. Likely like what Lindsey Graham said, I know this, some people are kind of sick of special counsels, but when you to have a Department of Justice and FBI, right, who's facing scrutiny, to investigate them, how are you going to expect the FBI or Department of Justice to truly investigate? Now, we do have this U.S. attorney who's out in Utah that's supposed to be conducting this investigation who's outside of Washington, D.C. And then if he gets to a point supposedly where he says, you know, I can't really do this anymore, it's too many conflicts, there could be a special counsel appointed. I think you should jump right over that. Okay, why do we need to wait that long for that U.S. attorney? Nothing against him, but why not just have a special counsel? It doesn't need to be as political the way this one has felt. I mean, and again, we're taking your phone calls 1-800-684-3110 on this. But it doesn't need to feel like the Mueller investigation. This would be more long-term, looking at FBI and DOJ wrongdoing. Are the rules being followed? I think the tip of the iceberg is what happened with this election cycle. You know, the focus, we keep being told by these officials, they all knew about this Russian involvement, Brennan, and everybody knew about it, and yet they did nothing.
Absolutely.
So if they did nothing, I mean, it then points to the question of that this was all about politics to them, because they weren't really worried about the integrity of the election, so they were playing politics with info that they may have known was just completely false.
Absolutely. So I think you're absolutely right, Jordan, to call for the appointment of a second special counsel. We should note, for instance, with respect to Bruce Orr alone, that his conduct justifies the appointment of a special counsel. Why? Because it's a crime for a federal official to participate in any government matter in which he has a financial interest. He participated, arguably, in a Justice Department inquiry with respect to Russia. And he did not disclose that his wife was hired by Glenn Simpson. So he did indeed have a financial interest in the matter. And then you come to the misconduct of Peter Strzok and Andrew McCabe and potentially Sally Yates. I think a special counsel is highly necessary.
Yeah, I think this goes to Chris's call in Virginia on line 3. Chris, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you. Quick question.
Yep.
There was talk if Clinton had been elected, we would know none of this.
Yep.
But if the Democrats take the House, knowing all that we know, do all of these investigations suddenly close?
On the House side, there's no way. Yeah. On the House side, yes. Now, if there, now that doesn't prevent the Department of Justice from appointing a special counsel to investigate it. So while the House is doing a great job, yes, I mean, this, the Democrats, no way they're going to investigate this. I'm not even making this a partisan statement. I think they've probably said that would be the case. They would just open up more investigations on Trump, to be honest with you. I mean, that's what they're, they would at least do that. And those affiliated with the Trump campaign and Trump White House, I mean, that's what their focus would be. It'd be a complete shift in what you've gotten used to, having a House Republican majority for a long time. Senate could continue, but they've been a lot weaker, honestly, so far in really getting to the heart of these more controversial matters. But that is the case. I mean, Wes, the case is that if you, again, elections have consequences. We're building towards one of those elections right now. Without getting too deep into that today, because there's still a lot of time between now and November, but we are building towards one of those serious consequential elections.
Absolutely. You cannot overstate the importance of the midterm elections coming up. And traditionally, whichever party controls the White House, they lose seats, and that would be devastating for transparency and for finding out what's going on. In addition to the House Oversight Committee, Bob Goodlatte, the Republican from Southwest Virginia, is also preparing subpoenas for Orr, for Nellie, his wife, and for Simpson. In Congress, what they really need to do, Jordan, they need to drill down into the circumstances surrounding Bruce Orr and his wife. How and why did she come to be hired by Fusion GPS? Who recommended her? Did anyone working for the Hillary Clinton campaign or the Democratic National Committee or the Obama administration have anything to do with her being hired, put in that position? Did her marriage to the deputy attorney general at the time have anything to do with her being hired by Fusion GPS? And then above all of that, they're married to each other. She's working on this dirty dossier. Her husband's the deputy attorney general. Was there pillow talk? What did she tell her husband about this Russian dossier? Congress needs to get to the bottom of all of these things.
All right, folks, we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. A couple lines are open, so this is a great time to call, 1-800-684-3110. Will we ever get to the truth about this witch hunt without a special counsel? I mean, Congress can do its job, but as that caller pointed out rightfully so, if Congress, if the hands of the House switch to Democrat control, they're not going to be doing these investigations, at least not the same way. And so you may need a special counsel, because you really think the DOJ is going to investigate? You think Rod Rosenstein's going to investigate himself when he was signing on to these FISA warrants? I mean, saying he's acting over anything involving Russia, so I would include the dossier, I guess. So that, I mean, again, you're asking of people something that they're not going to do on their own. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to be right back on Jay Sekulow Live. Go to ACLJ.org. A lot of great information there. The work of the ACLJ can support the work of the Americans Here for Law and Justice. On this broadcast, we've been focusing on news. ACLJ is doing a lot of work. We'll be right back on the show.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're taking phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, investigating the investigators. They haven't done so well when those investigators are investigated. Ask Peter Strzok how it feels, or Jim Comey, or Andrew McCabe. Bruce Orr is likely in the, again, forefront there. I mean, they just have not faced scrutiny very well because these, again, are not people who have faced that kind of scrutiny before. And when they do, they find out, oh, they have political motivations at the FBI. They were politically motivated. I mean, that's about as bad as it gets. We talked about that at the IRS. You know, we were dealing with those Tea Party cases. When you have politically motivated targeting, you're using the IRS and apparatuses of the investigative branches of government, which can really hurt Americans. Criminal penalties, civil penalties, put you in jail, prosecute you. And if that becomes partisan and partisan focused, and the idea that they are acting because of partisan beliefs, we're at a very dangerous point in America. That's why I believe, you know, this whole idea of drain the swamp, we are far away from getting it done. You know, and we just get those. Again, we knew it would take time. We said the Department of Justice was one of the worst. At the IRS, they've been kind of cut off at the knees to an extent because of the targeting they got caught doing. And a lot of that staff is gone as well. But DOJ, much more deeper. I mean, remember when we were doing our IRS case, it involved the FBI because of the investigative nature of criminal conduct, potential criminal conduct. We got to a point where we weren't sure if the FBI was trying to go after our clients, the Tea Party groups of 30, 40 members, or the DOJ officials and IRS officials they were supposed to be looking at. I mean, so we just said, no, we can't cooperate with you anymore. We're not going to let our clients sit down with you because your questions are not clear about whether or not you're going after our clients or not. I mean, it all started way before Donald Trump became president. Okay, this has all been going on. He just kind of brought it to a head because he said, I want to drain the swamp. I actually want to do something about this. Unlike previous Republican or Democrat presidents who just kind of went along with it. Democrat presidents had a lot easier time going along with it, but even previous Republicans kind of dealt with this. That's why I think it's not such a partisan issue. It's a D.C. swamp issue versus trying to get rid of politics and government as usual. 1-800-684-3110. Here's President Trump last night, though. He is not backing down at a rally in West Virginia after all of that news yesterday.
Fake news and the Russian witch hunt. We got a whole big combination. Where is the collusion? You know, they're still looking for collusion. Where is the collusion? Find some collusion. We want to find the collusion.
Yes, I mean, that is what they have hoped for so much, though. It seems like Wes, Harry, I mean, the collusion on Russia seems to be the real collusion seems to be between Christopher Steele and these Russian actors and Glenn Simpson and these supposed Russians. I mean, they said it at least. They said that they're working with Russians to get this information. That is actual Russian collusion to bring down an opposing candidate.
Absolutely. So if you look at, for instance, the DNC's role in all of this, they funded Glenn Simpson and Fusion GPS. And so they did it, obviously, through a law firm. Perhaps indirectly, but it is clear that the funding came from the Democrat National Committee. And then you have a number of individuals within the Justice Department, within the FBI, they're taking out insurance policies. They are engaged in their own form of collusion to either prevent President Trump from winning the election or alternatively, to disable his presidency. That's the real collusion story that remains unexamined, it strikes me. And again, that's why we need a fuller investigation of the so-called investigators.
We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Tom in Connecticut on line 4. Tom, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan. How you doing?
Good.
It seems like the only collusion here is exactly what you just mentioned. All the people who are involved, Steele on down, it's not the Russians. We've known they've been doing this forever. It's us. It's our people. Mm-hmm. It is the swamp. And this is what needs to be drained. This is really like the old Maxwell Smart, Get Smart series. You have the left who is chaos and the right who is Maxwell Smart in the government. And they should do a remake because it plays out very well.
Well, I think, Tom, you're right in the extent that it's really these individuals. Listen, when Glenn Simpson was asked about who these Russians were providing him info, he said, oh, they were in America and we can't find them, Wes. Yeah. And now we do know that there is an oligarch who may have been involved in some money that they wanted, which, again, would prove that, yeah, there's Russian meddling. We all accept that. Okay, so I want to make that clear. We all accept that. But then it's not done on this like partisan Republican versus Democrat basis. It's done on a basis to cause chaos in our own country. And these individuals, like, they seized on that and didn't realize what damage they were doing to the country.
Right, and they created even more chaos. You can't make this stuff up. And whenever people, you know, change their testimony or they contradict each other in testimony, you wonder what they're hiding. For example, when Simpson, who owns GPS Fusion, when he testified before Congress, he mentions Bruce Ohr in the testimony, but does not mention that Bruce Ohr's wife is working directly for him at Fusion GPS. He says he had contact with Bruce Ohr only after the election in November 2016. We've discovered new documents, Congress has recently, that they have been having conversations long before the election in November of that year. And I think should also be noted that Bruce Ohr and Christopher Steele, they are not recent acquaintances. They didn't come together during the election campaign. They have actually had contact with each other on a regular basis since 2002. That's 15 years, 14 years by the time of the election.
Yeah, I mean, this again, folks, I want to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, we've got a second half hour coming up. That's a second half hour coming up. Jerry in Rhode Island on line 6. Great question. As we get closer to the midterm elections, without answers to some of these questions on people like Bruce Ohr, Sally Yates, and others who may have been involved in this dossier. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello, Jordan, and Professor and Colonel. This is a question probably for the professor.
Yep.
Following up on what you guys just said and that previous caller about what if the Congress changes and the Democrats don't call for a special counsel, considering the totality of the facts you guys have been talking about. Professor, is there a mechanism in government? If the House changes, is there another mechanism that could be utilized to call a special counsel or something else that would investigate what you guys are talking about if the House changes?
Certainly. So first, you have the U.S. Senate. And secondly, the Justice Department on its own can appoint a special counsel. So these investigations will not end if indeed the House changes hands. I think the House has done yeoman work on the investigations so far, and they've been much more vigorous, much more active, if you will, than the United States Senate. So certainly that would be a loss, if you will, in terms of the strength of the investigation. But a special counsel is really an appointee of the executive branch.
All right, folks, 1-800-684-3110. Bruce Ohr heading to Washington, D.C.'s House Oversight Committee next week for a hearing. That hearing, for Trey Gowdy's committee, the House Oversight Committee. What will he talk to them about? Will we find out that others were involved higher up in the Department of Justice, confirmed by Bruce Ohr, people like Sally Yates in the dossier? And I don't just throw that out there. This is being reported now. 1-800-684-3110. Second half hour coming up. The witch hunt in Washington continues, and the fight continues for the truth. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're going right to the phone calls. As you know, we believe that it's time to investigate the investigators' need for, we've been saying it for a while, a need for a special counsel, second special counsel to investigate Department of Justice, FBI wrongdoing in light of the 2016 election. If they had this information about Russia trying to influence our election, why didn't they share it appropriately with the American people? Did the Obama administration, why not? Did they use a phony, a salacious dossier, to use Jim Comey's words, to get FISA warrants on Americans? And why would we expect Rod Rosenstein to order an investigation of himself? Okay, I mean, that's the truth. He signed one of those FISA warrants, so nothing against him than that. But he signed one. So what? To imagine that he would order that investigation, I think you're living in la-la land, and you need to get to reality. Congress can do a lot of work, so we're going to take a phone call on that as well, because Bruce Orr is heading to Capitol Hill next week to appear before the House Oversight Committee. Anthony in Georgia is calling in about that online, too. Anthony, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, I'd like to know, if you know, why are all these hearings always behind closed doors?
Sure.
Well, look, Mr. Orr is going up there. It's behind closed doors. What goes on behind closed doors that the public not allowed to see this on TV?
Listen, first of all, it doesn't preclude, because there's been these behind closed doors, and the next hearing really is behind closed doors, does not preclude an open door hearing at a point. But I think Trey Gowdy, who's the chair of the committee, he answered your question for you, Anthony, about why they do it this way. It's really because it's not really a hearing. They call it that, but it's really something more serious. Take a listen.
We're going to be back and we're going to interview Bruce Orr, not in a public circus setting, but in a deposition with no time limits. And we're going to get to the bottom of what he did, why he did it, who he did it in concert with, whether he had the permission of the supervisors at the Department of Justice.
So you see, Anthony, I think, and Harry, you could, it's almost more of like a legal proceeding in the sense that it's a deposition. It's not for congressmen or women to score political points back and forth, Republican and Democrat. It actually gives the Republicans more control to kind of lead the questioning.
Absolutely.
And get to the bottom of what we want to know, which we just found out from Trey Gowdy. It's exactly what we've said. No time limits, not a circus setting. And what did he, why did he do it? Who was he in concert with? Whether he had the permission of supervisor at DOJ, talking about Bruce Orr here. That's the info we want them to get.
Absolutely. So it's very, very possible that the House committee can extract more honest information from Bruce Orr behind closed doors, particularly if we're talking about a hearing led by Trey Gowdy, an ex-prosecutor. It's important to note the questions that Trey Gowdy raised in response to the discussion in Congress. So it's very important to ask this question. Did the FBI work directly with Mr. Glenn Simpson? Did Mr. Simpson have contact with Bruce Orr well before Steele was in the frame? And we have at least some anecdotal information which clearly indicates that Simpson relied on Steele. Bruce Orr worked with Christopher Steele. They met on at least 60 occasions. And Bruce Orr continued to deal with Christopher Steele after he was fired. And the FBI continued to extract information from Bruce Orr after Steele was fired. And so what we also need to look at are the 302 notes, the debriefing notes, to get a fuller answer to all of our questions.
Facebook, could Nellie Orr refuse to testify against her husband? You're talking about like in a criminal court setting, there's a spousal privilege, but she also could be part of an investigation because her husband's in the government. Was she using her position? Money being exchanged? So again, it gets more complicated than that. But yeah, there's a spousal privilege, but that is again not what point we're at right now. We're at the point of congressional hearing, and then you can always take the fifth at these hearings as well. 1-800-684-3110. We've got again two more segments coming up. We'll take a lot of your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110 as we go into break. It's a great time to get your calls ready to, so we can come back and take them right when we're on the air at 1-800-684-3110. Investigate the investigators. I think the American people would appreciate that. We'll be
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Investigate the investigators. That's my call. I believe really that if you do, you're starting to see. I mean, we're starting to see them. They get fired by their own departments when information comes out about them. So you saw that with Andrew McCabe. You saw that with Peter Strzok ultimately. I think you could see that ultimately with Bruce Orr as well. He's been demoted twice. But he's still working in the Criminal Division, Department of Justice, still getting his federal paycheck, which we pay for with our taxpayer dollars. So I think that the idea, though, is, okay, what would happen here? And Linda's calling in about that from Michigan on line three, and I think it's a really fair question and points. Linda, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan.
Hey, Linda.
So my question is, investigate the investigators. So far, everybody that is a criminal player in this first investigation has been given full immunity. So we've got a bunch of criminals walking around with nothing, no penalty, no repercussions. So you now take on a second investigation, and then they're given immunity. What is the purpose of a second investigation.
So you're talking about like the Clinton investigation where everybody was getting immunity thrown out. We're not talking about trying to reopen the Clinton investigation. This is about why the people who were behind the Clinton investigation, the FBI officials, some now fired, but the clock has not run yet on their liability for wrongdoing. Why? So you want us, this investigation would not just be to gather facts. It would be ultimately to prosecute. Special counsels have the ability to prosecute crimes. I think we all learned. You saw that yesterday. I mean, in fact, in Northern Virginia. And we're not going to get deeper into that. But that, again, it shows you the power that was the special counsel's team bringing criminal charges against an individual. They have that power. So they are not just, when we say investigate the investigators, we mean you do an investigation for the purpose of potentially, not just to write a report, but to potentially bring criminal charges against people.
Absolutely. So you raise a very good point, Jordan. Generally, you want to appoint a special prosecutor if indeed there is evidence that a crime was committed. So if we look at Bruce Orr's conduct, did he profit financially from a government investigation that he participated in? That, as I understand it, is a crime. Did Andrew McCabe lie? That potentially is a crime. Did Peter Strzok lie? Again, that is a crime. So in this particular case, what we're talking about is a targeted investigation that goes out to look at potential criminals and to convict and hopefully imprison those individuals after they've been adjudicated by a jury.
Listen to Congressman Ratcliffe, Republican from Texas, on Bite 21.
Some of that money that Hillary Clinton and the DNC used to pay for the dossier ultimately ended up in the account of the number four person at the Department of Justice, Bruce Orr, and his wife, Nellie Orr. I'm going to sit down with some of my colleagues, with Mr. Orr, and give him an opportunity to explain exactly how that came to pass, and more importantly, who at the Department of Justice authorized it.
That is a key, Wes. A key there is because I think this building a case for a second special counsel. Mm-hmm. If more and more people get involved, higher that were, and even if they're former officials, but they were, you know, deputy attorney general of the United States who was acting attorney general for a time, maybe like Sally Yates or others who may have authorized this. So, I mean, we've got Strzok, we got Orr, we've got Lisa Page. We know about some of the former Obama officials. We know that McCabe. We know the FISA warrant issue. That's one, by the way, that really needs to be criminally looked at, investigated, right? Because if there were FISA warrant issued on a bogus dossier, mm-hmm, to spy on Americans, those, the people who did that, if they knowingly did that, should be criminally prosecuted. But I think that Ratcliffe brings up a good point, is we've got to find out, did Bruce Orr get an okay to do this? Like this yeah, bizarre relationship, go off site and meet with Glenn Simpson, mm-hmm, keep the relationship with Christopher Steele going for Peter Strzok, mm-hmm, so that Peter Strzok didn't have to directly contact him.
Yeah, yeah. The deception and the lying, the mismatching stories is alarming, and this is really, really getting ugly. And for the sake of the integrity of our institutions, we have to get to the bottom of this. And we talk about investigating the investigators. As much as I appreciate parts of Michael Horowitz's IG report for the Department of Justice, he does not have the authority to prosecute, and a special counsel does have that authority. You're talking about Bruce Orr and this blatant conflicts and the potential for graft and dishonesty. According to testimony, Jordan, given last month by none other than disgraced FBI agent Peter Strzok, Strzok said in his testimony last month that Orr, in fact, did give to the FBI, quote, documents and material, unquote, that had originated with Steele and became part of the FISA warrant, yeah, which was used more than likely to mislead a FISA court in order to spy on a U.S. citizen. And you are correct, Jordan. That is serious stuff. And yeah, we have to get to the bottom of that kind of potential criminal conduct.
That kind of warrant, said secret spying on Americans. Again, I mean, that is the most serious of serious issues of when it comes to our American, our values. I mean, when it comes to what our country is built on. Let's go back to the phones, take more calls. Nancy in California on line 6. Nancy, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, guys. I just have to say, I am so frustrated, even with my own party.
Yeah.
You know, we tend to play defense rather than offense. Mm-hmm. And we have a DOJ and a ton of Democrat judges who are quick to go after conservatives, while completely ignoring others who do the same exact thing. Well, I mean, I'm thinking about like Al Sharpton, you know, the guy's walking free. He's been a visitor at the White House many a time.
Well, I think about Hillary Clinton's whole team getting immunity, and she got to testify without having to be under oath. And she was a former Secretary of State, a candidate at the time, but not even the President of the United States. I mean, she was, again, just a former cabinet member, former senator, individual who was running for president. She got to testify under oath, got to bring in her same people who got immunity to be her lawyers during that questioning because it was a joke. Okay, so that's you're right there, Nancy. I do believe, by the way, I can understand, I think your own party is the Republican Party. And I think that there's two Republican parties right now. That's one of the issues in Washington, D.C. There's one Republican Party that takes this stuff seriously. And there's one who I think is more swampy, to be quite honest with you. Now, on some issues like judicial nominees, they can all come together for the most part, like on the Kavanaugh nomination. But when it comes to investigative issues like this, and you see a big difference between the Senate and the House, always. But they really, again, that's why I've said over and over, the Trump presidency wasn't just upsetting to the D.C. bureaucrats who are mostly liberal, but it was to the entire establishment of Washington, which there's lots of Republicans part of that too in the intelligence communities. A lot of those guys are Republicans. But it upset the norm, which is why people elected Donald Trump, is to just to shake things up, is to drain the swamp. I mean, he told you, and when he got in, they did everything they could to keep him out, maybe illegally. Then they tried to undermine him, continue to, I think, to this day, with the witch hunt, which we believe again. Jim Comey leaking his conversation with the president to get a special counsel appointed. He says that under oath, you know, to Congress. And the special counsel gets appointed to continue to undermine the president, who they don't like from the first place and didn't want to win. They thought Hillary Clinton would win. They gave her the special treatment at the FBI. They got immunity to everybody. She wouldn't have to testify under oath. This, again, folks, it goes to a big issue in Washington, which is the partisanship at levels of government, which should be so far from it. And we're not talking about individuals deciding who they want to vote for. We're talking about using their government positions and the power of the government, which is very powerful, to use information to spy on Americans, to undermine the current president, to try and undermine an election, to use the leaking of information that you had as FBI director after you're fired as FBI director through a friend so that a special counsel gets appointed. And I do think there's a lack of toughness as well on the other side. We're going to continue to take phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We come back from the break. We can try to take this one before we hit the break. George has been holding on from New York on Live 5. George, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jordan, for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller to your broadcast.
We appreciate that, George.
I have a comment, but I also have a question,
sure,
too. We have an investigation going on for Russian collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia, and yet for nearly 2 years, no evidence of any kind of collusion has been found.
Yeah.
None has been presented.
Right.
And it seems like $20+ million of the taxpayers' money is being wasted on something that is just a complete drumhead trial.
That's what the president said last night. George, where is it? I mean, where is the collusion? He said it. Take a listen.
Fake news and the Russian witch hunt. We got a whole big combination. Where is the collusion? You know, they're still looking for collusion. Where is the collusion? Find some collusion. We want to find the collusion.
Yeah, he's being sarcastic there. But again, even the president, that would not help him, is saying, like, come on. Like, this is what you were supposed to be investigating, right? I mean, this is what you were so nervous about. We got a final segment coming up. We got some phone lines open because we took a lot of calls. If you want to talk to us about this issue, 1-800-684-3110. Should we investigate the investigators? Would you be behind that move? Do you believe that as the witch hunt continues that the hunters, if you will, or the investigators must be investigated themselves? 1-800-684-3110.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Our final segment on investigating the investigators. Let's go to Barbara's call on line one right away because I think Barbara's got a great question that we need to answer for the American people and our listeners. Barbara, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Thank you. I'm curious with the frustration of watching all the crimes that have been committed and nobody is going after anybody. I want to know who would be the person that would investigate the investigators, and who would appoint them?
Okay, so
when you have so much corruption.
Yeah. Well, I think here's two things. One, the investigators would be someone from outside, so it'd be a special counsel, someone from outside, outside the DOJ, outside of the norm of Washington. I think just a really good, you know, former prosecutor, someone like that, who needs to be in charge, who does not have any kind of, you can't blame them for any kind of partisanship whatsoever, above reproach. Not kind of like how the current one is gone, I would say. And I don't think, by the way, Barbara, it would take the attention. You know, it would not be the same. You're not going to be talking about the President of the United States, so it's not going to get the same kind of attention, but it's very important for our Democratic Republic. Number two, who appoints that investigator? Well, I think that it was Jeff Sessions, actually, who empowered, even though he's recused from Russia, empowered the U.S. attorney in Utah. So it could be Jeff. Now, he'd have to buck up a little bit because Jeff has been, I think, not the strongest when it comes to this, the attorney general, on this issue, but he certainly, by appointing that U.S. attorney to investigate, has indicated that he would then have the power to appoint this kind of second special counsel.
Absolutely. That is the clear implication of his decision to appoint Huber from Utah.
Yeah.
In addition, there is a second possibility, which is Jeff Sessions could defer to the number three at the Justice Department, perhaps even Noel Francisco.
Yeah.
Clearly, I think Rod Rosenstein is implicated by some of the misbehavior that we've already discussed.
He at least signed the FISA warrant. Whether or not he knew about
would
it,
have to yeah, he would recuse himself, right, in my opinion. So I think it's up to Jeff Sessions and possibly the number three at the Justice Department.
It's not that hard. I mean, again, the Attorney General can do it. And he's indicated he can by saying that, you know, that he empowered that U.S. attorney in Utah to do that. I didn't believe that there was enough for a special counsel yet. I'm not sure how he came to that conclusion, considering we were talking about investigating the people that U.S. attorney's friends with, his colleagues, which I think makes it tougher. I mean, even if he's trying to do his best job, it makes it tougher because you're on the inside, and do you really want to expose how bad it is and how bad things are? Back to the phones we go, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Lori in Kansas online, too. Lori, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you so much. I have two questions. What was Mueller's position in the DOJ and or the FBI prior to Comey leaking his information, which put
Mueller... when Comey leaked the investigation, Mueller was out of the FBI. He was the former FBI director. And he did work with Jim Comey while he was FBI director when Comey was a deputy attorney general at the Department of Justice. But he had retired from that position, so he was no longer FBI director. Jim Comey then leaks the information. Then Bob Mueller gets appointed special counsel. So that is the timeline there, Laura. I think that answers all of your question for you, right?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lori. Back to the phones we go, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Gail in Colorado on line three. Gail, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, how are y'all doing?
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted this whole circus, I don't know, just strikes me as crazy. We have an independent counsel that to me is an illegitimate independent counsel. I mean, we have McCain, Comey, Brennan, Clapper, Rosenstein, Strzok, Obama, Clinton, FISA, McCabe, Gates. The ones that aren't crooked, which I don't see one on there that's not, that could be fact witnesses, are corrupt. Okay, so we, instead of having a crime that we're having, or a potential crime that we have a counsel that's looking at, we have a counsel who's trying to invent a crime. So Manafort, to me, is straight up IRS case that everybody knew about. I mean, the IRS knew about it. They failed really to want to do anything about it. So if we're going to look, if we're going to investigate the investigators, okay, why are charges not filed against McCabe yet?
The charges would have to be what investigated by the FBI, which he served and has a lot of friends in. So they'd be the fact gatherers, and then it would go to the DOJ, where he has friends too, because the DOJ oversees the FBI. Now, he is under that investigation, so I don't want to say that that won't happen. He's been referred by his own FBI for criminal investigation.
Absolutely. So the caller raises a very,
I do get her frustration.
Very good point. So if you look at the so-called Russia collusion investigation, there was no specific evidence that a crime was committed before that investigation was launched. That's number one. Number two, with respect to the individuals that the caller has mentioned, there is clear evidence in many cases that crimes were indeed committed. And that, therefore, provides a legitimate basis for the appointment of a special counsel. Why do you need a special counsel in these cases? In part because McCabe and other individuals, Peter Strzok, they have relationships with individuals within the Department of Justice and the FBI who might be charged with investigating their crimes. So if we want to show impartiality with respect to this investigation of the investigators, we need an independent special counsel, and I'm not using the term contrary to statutory language.
Yeah, let's go to Jason, Iowa, line 6. Jason, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
How are you doing, Jordan?
We're good.
And I appreciate y'all, Professor Carrie and Andy. My comment is I honestly believe a special counsel should be appointed to investigate the investigators.
Yeah.
And one of y'all said something about do we think that Mueller is dragging it on out till after midterms. I honestly believe that he is, because if Democrats get the House, then they're going to give him rein to actually trump up more charges.
Well, I think that, Jason, what it comes down to ultimately is, I mean, we're getting closer and closer. As I think the president's legal team has said, you know, if this is not getting out to the American people, they report by Bob Mueller by early September, you're getting very close to the midterm elections and very close to what Jim Comey did. I said that on Fox yesterday. You know, you don't, and so you got to make that call pretty soon, because if you do it in October, you're just politicizing whatever you found. I mean, that's just the truth. I don't care who you are. If you were investigation you thought was valid or not, you do it a month before an election. It's about people involved in politics. Every side is going to take it as one side is going to take it as a completely partisan move, and maybe even more than just one side, but the American people. Because look at like what Jim Comey did. You know, this back and forth. That was no good. That alone, reason why he should be fired as FBI director. So I don't think that, I mean, you would hope that Mueller and his team have learned from that. So I think they've got a window here of time, and then again, probably would have to expand. And I don't think that's good for the American people, by the way, to continue this. I think it continues to divide the country when we can, again, have political debates on all of this. We will, again, take tomorrow on the broadcast, we'll keep you updated on all of the news. We wanted to kind of take what happened yesterday in New York and Northern Virginia, and now the focus back in Washington, D.C. So again, I think we did that for you today. Go to ACLJ.org, because the ACLJ is doing a lot more work than what we can get to on our radio broadcast. And so you want to find out about that, ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.